A very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say, because on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, it's been 30 years. It is the 30th year anniversary of Treaty. Yes, Yothu Yindi, deadly band, and the epic story of the legendary band Yothu Yindi and how their song Treaty gave voice to a movement. And the book that has been written by Matt Garrett is Writing in the Sand. And look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly's sister. Cousin belongs to me, Jodie Cockatoo, a Yothu Yindi member. And a very good morning to you, my sister. How are you?
Oh, good morning there, my brother. Yeah, good, thank you.
Good to see you, darling. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Okay, so, my Cockatoo heritage, it goes back to Yupungari mob on Mapoon on the Pennefather River. And Granny, my grandmother's country, out Gungalida, Wanyi mob.
Yes.
Out that way where... Dumaji.
Yes.
And very proud for all of them. And my dad's Yalanji, Gugi Yalanji, Western Yalanji.
Okay, and big shout out.
That's
all the beautiful mob there and our connection there, Gungalida, Wanyi, our connection there, my sister, and great to see you. Look, you was a part of this fantastic movement, the band. Tell us the story about you first and how Yothu Yindi started. I mean, we're talking at 19 years old, joined the band, the next minute travelling the world.
I know, it's pretty mind-blowing today compared to how artists get themselves out there today, you know what I mean? Yeah, very old school with a cassette, a demo recording, you know, all that.
Is that how you sort of auditioned, did it?
Yeah, okay. Just sent off that. And
so how did it come about? Were they putting out auditions out there for a black Aboriginal singer. To come to the band singer? And and you put you in by a tape cassette.
Yeah, well, you know, to do vocals on the Freedom album.
Yes.
And so that was the third Yothu Yindi album. And so I actually met a cousin from Darwin, see, and she knew somebody who I'd met.
Yes.
And she heard me sing, and then she used to be a promoter up in Darwin. And so, you know.
Yes.
And the rest is history.
The rest of the doors open
because
up.
Because you'll read about it anyway.
In the book.
Likely.
Most likely, Yothu Yindi book, The Writing in the Sand is the name of the book, and it's out now, and we'll get into that. So tell us about your taped cassette audition. How did you send it off, or how did it come about? Who did you contact, or did you have a manager as such, or you had to do it by yourself?
No, not at all.
That's right.
I just had this really great friend, Eleanor Boyd, and she used to work with the manager in Darwin. She just moved here from Darwin.
Yeah.
And then I met my cousin through her, and that all came about, and she heard me sing, and that was it then, you know.
She told you
and
to audition.
This just came up. No.
That was it.
It came to her.
Yep.
And she said, Jodie, you've got to put a song down. So I did, and happened.
They contacted you?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, back then we didn't have mobile phones.
Nothing.
So they were around the house.
It was just like, in the post, you should get it soon.
And sure, that's what,
you know,
old school snail mail.
Old school, absolutely.
And then they received your tape and they liked what they heard.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you was part of Yothu Yindi.
Yeah, well, I was in Sydney, hadn't been into a studio prior to that, you know what I mean? And
sang in the backyard, around barbecue, family barbecues.
And it was to do vocals, backing vocals on the Freedom album.
Okay.
So I did that for 2 weeks, and that was such a wide opener.
Yeah.
Totally, because I'd never been to Sydney before, and next minute we were staying at this rock hotel in King's Cross.
Shut up.
So me being, you know,
all the way from Cairns.
Bushy-eyed, innocent young girl, 19.
No, you don't.
It really spun me out.
Too deadly. And like you said, there's all history. So then you sang for the Freedom album.
Yeah.
Freedom Ride album.
And then they invited me to do the tour with them over in Europe. So 2 weeks later after that, I was doing my first gig in London.
Yeah, gotcha.
So and that was the world.
Was it well received in in the United Kingdom?
Yeah.
You know, the so-called motherland to Australia, you could say.
Well,
white version.
Well, the English, you know the history of the English and now it was colonised. They're still fascinated with Aboriginal identity and the visual.
Just seeing you guys.
So, you know, what they think of an Aboriginal person as always standing up with a spear or a boomerang, you know.
Mm.
That's what they vision.
Leaning on one leg.
Yeah, that's it, usually. But when we went over there and delivered the music, you know, which opened them into a total different world of music and what everybody is used to hearing. And over there, there's music everywhere,
sure, of course
you know,
there's
down every style of music, you
of
name
course.
It, it was
General,
there all in London and the UK. And in Europe too, but Europeans were different to the English, you know.
Sure. And they received you as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were received everywhere.
Yeah.
Worldwide, globally. It was fantastic, you know. It was an easy sort of a gig because we weren't just your average rock band. We were a cultural family rock band.
Yeah, gotcha, true. Nice definition.
The angle.
Nice description, yes.
Yeah, the angle that we came in was totally different to just a rock a band coming up and just singing and playing their music, which nobody knew.
Mm.
You know, you're bound to get tomatoes
thrown at you.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You know, and you'll read about some of the stories in the writing of the In the Sand.
Yes.
Some of the stories book. From like Stewie Calloway, the like founder of Yothu Indie, and who Mundawoi went to. And that's all the history and when the seed was planted.
There you go. Look, everybody's got a story to tell. And Yothu Indie, the band itself, this is their story.
Yes,
and that's
absolutely.
What we're talking about. So to our deadly listeners out there, if you just tuned in, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with cousin sister here, Jodie Cockatoo, Yothu Indie member. We're talking about the 30-year anniversary of Treaty and the book that has been now written by the author Matt Garrett. And Writing in the Sand is the name of the book, and that's what we're talking about. And your journey with Yothu Indie. My sister and you're talking about the audition with this tape cassette that you put in for the audition. You got asked to go and sing at the studio for the Freedom Ride album.
The Freedom album, yes.
Freedom album, that's it. And then you got...
well, it was CDs, yeah.
It was back
the
exactly.
album CD, yes.
Exactly, back in the day.
Yeah.
And
then
you got asked to travel overseas to Europe on their tour.
Yeah,
and so then from that tour... coming back to Australia, you were then, one of the members of Yothu Indie.
Yeah, which was mind-blowing. I mean, I was only 19, so I didn't know the enormity of it all and the scale it was on, you know?
Sure.
Because I joined at a time where Yothu Indie was rock and roll and, you know,
everybody knew Yothu Indie.
They'd been to the US.
Yes.
They'd done the hard yards and, you know, thanks to some awesome... bands like the Oils, you know.
Midnight Oils.
Yeah. And other bands like the Swamp Jockeys from way back there. Stewie Cowles, you know, the beginning. And
well, they were in support of the movement.
I mean, the movement, that's right.
You were a band, just happened to be black, you know, but it was a cultural aspect to the band and to the songs.
Yeah, and then not only that, but there was the Ballinder. There was the Ballinder contingent as well, you know, the white Australian.
Sure.
Stewie and Cal.
Yeah, thank you, yes. Make mention,
that
yes,
was
thank
there.
You.
And so that was the balance, and that's what your theme is, balance.
Exactly.
And they saw
and a true
it
message and, tick, you could say.
Yeah. And I think without the either, it probably wouldn't have been as dynamic.
Mm.
As it
point taken.
Came to be.
Yes, exactly.
And
that just shows you that, you know, the phrase they used for the pandemic, COVID-19, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
So that band was together in delivering the message.
Right. No matter what was going on behind the scenes, when we got up on stage and we did our thing, it was together, united, family.
Yeah, black and white.
That's right. It was none of that.
Mm.
It was just we're there to do a job. We're here to spread the word. Yolngu Balina people living in the mainstream.
Mm. Exactly. Living in one country, the big island.
That's right. You know? That's right. And we're giving it and giving them the opportunity to see it through a Yolngu person's eyes.
Yes. So true. So true. So we're talking about the book that's out, Writing in the Sand. So you can grab the book at a store near you or go online, Google it, but you need to get a copy of it and read the story about Yothu Yindi, how it all started. And, well, it still operates today. It still runs today, doesn't it?
Yeah, Treaty. It's it's still totally relevant to today, you
of
know.
Of course.
It's still the Aboriginal Australia still
the
sending
fight
the messages,
yes.
The struggles and reminders.
Mm.
And when it's all just about acknowledgement and recognition, you know, and in a peaceful way.
Yes.
It's not a in-your-face way.
No, that's right.
And I'd like to think that over the years and what Yothu Yindi did for this country and our people, that it would have a reflection on people's way of thinking.
Sure, exactly. A bridge builder, you could say.
Absolutely, for sure. And that was Mundawoi's main ulterior motive.
Exactly.
Was to build that bridge.
Well, he started out singing with the love of his people, putting his language in his song, not having a vision that it's going to be big like it is, like it became.
I've got to tell you, I've got a copy of the book and so I've started reading it already.
Yes.
So I do know what it was, and he did have that vision.
Yeah. Is that right?
He
had big visions.
There's
then.
Lots of stuff in, there's lots of facts in that book that is just mind-blowing.
Sure.
And it's what the minority of Australia needs to listen to.
Okay,
and
need to read, need to know.
Need
exactly.
to read because
need
there's
to read, yes.
there it is for yourself,
sure.
right in your face.
There you go. All right, there it is. Beautiful. So the book is out, Writing in the Sand, Yothu Yindi. So do check it out, your mob. Authored by Matt Garrett and Murray from the Curry, having a deadly yarn with sister cousin here, Jodie Cockatoo, Yothu Yindi member. And look, it was a beautiful journey and still strong today, and a deadly chapter in your life, my sister.
Oh, well, yeah, it just kept going and going and going. And it's still, and that's the opportunity that was given to me.
Sure.
And thank God for that.
Yeah.
And my spiritual mob.
Yes, beautiful.
My spiritual people.
Yeah, darling.
Because without who I am and my identity, I wouldn't be here in the first place.
Yep, true, darling. It was meant to be. And shows there how your ancestors, your beautiful grandmother, with us in spirit, my beautiful grandmother, who are sisters, looking down at us.
Going to make me cry now.
Yeah, shut
soon.
Up, don't
Look
start.
Out.
Love you, my sister. But thank you for the deadly yarn, and you keep being you, Jodie. And look, we'll yarn soon, but to the mob out there, the message is, grab this book, have a read, Writing in the Sand, Yothu Yindi, The True Story, and the 30th Anniversary of Treaty.
Thank you very much, my brother, and get a copy.
Yes.
You won't be sad.
Thank you, darling. We'll talk soon, Jodie.
Love yous all, my mob.
Okay, darling. Beautiful yarn there. Sister Jodie Cockatoo, Yothu Yindi member, talking about the book that's out now. So grab it, have a read, Writing in the Sand, The True Story of Yothu Yindi, How It All Started, Matt Garrett, the author, and a fantastic opportunity. Read it to learn and get educated, your mob. We are students for life. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
We want to pay tribute to all the women across this land. We want to say thank you. It's because of you we can. You raised us from babies to the people we are today. The women before us, they have paved the way. Because of her we can. She left her footprint. days were harder, but you stood up for our rights. The next generation, they are strong because of you. Now we raise our voices and sing this song to you. Because of her, she left her footprint in the sand. From the coast of the Indian Ocean, beyond this great southern land, we wouldn't be who we are without her guiding hands. With thanks we say, it's because of her.
Very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from Nakari, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Australian First research on Indigenous women's working lives reveals Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander mums and carers most at risk at work. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Nareen Young and the Sisters Industry Professor Jambana Institute on the line. Nareen, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Bruce. How are you? I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. I'm probably not in as nice as weather as you are.
In Cairns, far north Queensland. Where are you situated, sis?
In Sydney, on country.
Okay,
yep,
beautiful.
I'm an Eora descendant and I live and work on country.
All right, beautiful. I was going to ask who your mob is, but that's fantastic. Big shout out to your mob there. Now, this is a very important conversation here about Indigenous women working lives reveals our women and carers most at risk at work. So please explain, sister.
Well, we did a survey last year with in partnership with Diversity Council Australia that wanted to understand the workplace experiences of our people. Mm. We then segregated and we got 1,033 responses. So don't tell me, mob, that mob won't respond to surveys. I think
they want to be in the conversations, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it was Aboriginal-led and run, and it was Jambana Institute, which I think has a great reputation. And so we got all those responses, which gave us really rich data, which we then this year segregated down into gender. So we did men and women. We didn't get enough responses from non-binary people to be able to make any findings on the experiences of non-binary people. So it was just men and women. Mm-hmm. And we found out all these things about our women and what we experience at work.
So the yarning circle has come to fruition in regard to the information that you found.
Totally. Well, we did that survey online, which we didn't do yarning circles, unfortunately. We didn't have enough money.
Mm. No, but these social media, the tools are available, yes.
As always. But the information we got online was absolutely fascinating.
Good. Fantastic. And so with this information, you joined forces there with DCA and came up with, finer detail, a finer research using the information.
Yes. So what we then did this year was worked with a government agency called the Women's Gender Equity Agency, and they track the progress of women in the workplace around promotions and opportunities and, importantly, pay equity, but they'd never segregated that down into in categories like Indigenous or culturally and linguistically diverse or women with disability. Now, some of our women are all three, for example. So lots of our women in Sydney, for example, are Aboriginal and culturally and linguistically diverse. Lots of our women have disabilities, so we fall into a lot of categories. But one, you know, we found out a lot of things. If you're interested in hearing some of them, brother.
Please, go ahead, yes.
Okay, so currently only 51.5% of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women are in the workforce compared with 65% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men. Our survey found that Indigenous women often feel unsafe in the workplace, often bear the extra responsibility for making their workplaces culturally sensitive and engaged, and are less likely than Indigenous men to receive support from their workplaces if they encounter racism. Only one in four Indigenous women said they feel supported when they experienced racism at work, and three in ten of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander employees, so women and men, feel high or moderate identity strain at work. And what identity strain is the strain employees feel when they themselves or others view their identity as not meeting the norms or expectations of the dominant culture in the workplace.
And look at that. So, like I say, oil always rises to the top. And there's the information. Right. There's the information. Yep. True facts.
Yeah. And that's what's important. That's why Aboriginal run and led research is so important.
Yes.
That we need to find these things out. If you think about it and you think about all the discussion that is around Indigenous people and employment, but no one had ever bothered to ask MOB about what our experiences were until we did that last year.
So, as you say, the so-called research then find detail into more information or the nitty-gritties in regard to very important information to have discussions.
Well, what we've done with it, and we had nearly 400 people on our webinar on Tuesday, was because we work with Diversity Council Australia and they've got nearly 1,000 employer members, this working with them enables us to talk to all of those people and inform them. And a lot of them, particularly the large employers, are looking at what they can do to make Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people flourish at work. But, you know, they need to know what this information is. So we were able to tell them.
Exactly. So, Noreen, what do you do with this information then? Do you take it to MP, ministers, government, and help close the gap or make our lives better for our beautiful women and carers?
Well, we're talking to employers who are, you know, I'm reluctant. I mean, I obviously work with the NIAA on a couple of committees, but I think it's got to happen at the ground level. It's got to happen at the employer level. Employers have to change their workplaces to make them safe for our people, and it's up to them, and they've got a legal obligation to do that.
Yes.
We have, you know, a racial discrimination act in this country.
Well, they're in the fine, it's on the fine line of discrimination if they're not, duty of care.
Exactly. So they need to know, and we will be making submissions. We all are from Jumbunna. We always make submissions to government when they call for it. We made one to the recent one around what needs to happen next to close the gap in Indigenous employment. And one of the things we said was that we would like to see a positive duty on employers to prevent racism in their workplaces.
Yep.
So this is the kind of data that we give them when we talk to them.
Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful information. Well, thank you very much for sharing. Thinking of our beautiful mums out there, our carers out there, and our black women. And we're all in this together, my sister.
Oh, indeed, Brad. Indeed. Mm.
Good talking with you. And your puppy was very quiet, so puppy did well.
I know. I've got the craziest Mirrys in Australia, and they were quiet.
The fur babies. Oh, yes.
Unbelievable.
Noreen, you take care and all the best, and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Okay, now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adela Young there. Noreen Young, her name is, industry professor at Jumbunna Institute, and talking about Australia's first research on Indigenous women's working lives reveals Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander mums and carers most at risk at work. So there it is, and that information is very important, and it all helps in regarding research, having yarns with mob, and even if it is internal yarns in regarding, well, online yarns. But the Yarny Circle is strong. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
What happened to the good old ways when everybody cared? Didn't have much of anything. What we had, we always shared. We always helped someone out in their hour of need. As the essence of our culture, giving in to the power of greed. Listen to the spirit, listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koori way. Listen to the spirit, listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koori way. A lot of good men and women fought for the freedom we enjoy. Now there isn't much of anything we can't give our girls and boys. But some of us have forgotten what the struggle is for. And they're living in ivory towers with marble on their floor. So listen to the spirit, listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koori way. Listen to the spirit, listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koori way. Play the game of rounders on a Sunday afternoon. Mama cooked roast dinner and sang us a tune. There's been a lot of good changes, I should have to say. But there's nothing wrong with hanging on to some of our good old ways. So listen to the spirit. your spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koree ways. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koree ways. Yeah, listen to the spirit. Listen to the spirit of our good old Koree way.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black Program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumbleweb Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, great news out there for our mob there in the art world. Indigenous Art Funding Boost to roll out QR codes to so customers can check authenticity of works. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Paul Fletcher, Arts Minister, on the line. A very good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Great to be with you. And it's a pleasure to be able to talk about some of this really important set of changes we're trying to make to really boost Indigenous art in Australia.
Yeah, fantastic. And also protect our artists and get away from the so-called fake Aboriginal art out there. So tell us the rollout regarding QR codes for our artists.
Well, you're right, Trevor. We've had a big problem with fake art. So you've got, you know, tourists in Circular Quay in Sydney buying what they think is Indigenous art, but it's actually mass-produced stuff from Indonesia or China. And there's a number of ways we can tackle this. One of the ways is that there's been a trial through DesArt in Central Australia of a digital label that gets applied to works and artefacts that are produced authentically by Indigenous artists. We're going to expand that under our national plan, our Indigenous Visual Arts Action Plan.
Yep.
Minister Ken White, Minister for Indigenous Australians, and I launched this last week, and we've got a number of elements here, so certainly cracking down on fake art, but also things like making sure that remote art centres, Indigenous art centres, are connected to the NBN, connected to broadband. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nearly 90 Indigenous art centres around Australia supported by the Commonwealth Department. But when we did an audit, we found quite a lot of them did not have a direct broadband connection. So we're going to fix that. You know, we can see in the future maybe Indigenous artists in a remote location doing a webinar with potential buyers of their works in London or Stockholm or Brisbane. So helping artists get to market. We're also going to provide some extra funding for art fairs. And in total, there's an extra $5 million a year going into our Commonwealth Government support for Indigenous art and artists.
Fantastic. So, like I said, we're working towards stamping out fake Aboriginal art. And so with the artwork, they have like a QR code which states the authenticity of the work. Yep.
That's exactly right. So I've seen this in operation in Alice Springs at Desert Mob. The art fair there, I was there a couple of years ago. I saw some examples of one of the local art centres already using this. And what we're going to do is expand it out so we'll have many more art centres around the country who are able to use this technology so that as a work is completed by an artist, then we can have this QR code applied to it. Mm. And what that lets you do as a purchaser is it lets you scan the QR code. That'll give you some information about the artist, about the artist's country,
yes,
and about the work. So what we want to do is create more opportunities for Indigenous artists to be selling their work. Indigenous art is one of Australia's great success stories.
Of course.
It's a really powerful part of brand Australia, huge interest in it globally as well as in Australia. But, of course, one of the issues is giving people confidence in buying works, if we can give people more confidence that what they're buying is authentic, that'll create more opportunities for our extraordinarily talented Indigenous artists to be selling more of their works.
Exactly, and it'll boost Indigenous artists and the business world for our people. So thank you very much. Beautiful information and great to see. And we'll be in touch, and you stay safe, Arts Minister Paul Fletcher. Thank you.
Good on you, Trevor. Good to chat. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Adela Yarn there, Arts Minister Paul Fletcher, and talking about the Indigenous Art Funding Boost to roll out QR codes so customers can check authenticity of work. So fantastic. It's protecting all our First Nation artists as such, and also it's targeting fake Aboriginal art. And so beautiful work there, and look, long time waiting. Aboriginal art has been rapaged and pillaged since day dot, pardon the pun, but it's great to see we're going to handle all of it and protect our beautiful artwork. And coming from Cairns here, Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, big shout out. They do beautiful work with all our artists here in far north Queensland, the Cape, as well as Torres Strait. And it's great to see that this is coming to the table. Have your say and yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
In the mood for a simple country tune, with no meaningful surprise, just make three notes harmonize. It's all the same, this worn out game. Gonna hop off the cliche train. Ain't nothing wrong in a simple song. No need to brood when there's nothing left to lose. Today will slip before your eyes. It's just a complicated lie, this worn out game of dropping names. Gonna run out of people to blame. Ain't nothing wrong in a simple song.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trevor and Mike here, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, my brother.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And so, in 2 hours listening yesterday, he was still on about the man from Uncle and stuff like that.
Yes. Give you a big shout out, he did, yes.
Well, he did. Well, there's a little bit of truth to his story. Before I get into something else, when I was a kid, I grew up in a military town just downriver from London. It's part of London's defences, and there was a big army camp there. The road went through it, was both sides of the road. Well, I sort of just used to go in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I had free range at the army camp, and I knew I shouldn't be in there, but I was in there, so I was bloody. Anyway, that's another story. Why I've called up, you had about Treaty Before 30 Years Old, the song now?
Yes, exactly, yeah. No, Yothu Yindi, the band, yep.
Yothu Yindi, the great Australian band, the greatest, and you're the really greatest band that show how good people are. Mm. With Treaty, we have a new Governor General sworn in yesterday, the Queen's representative in Queensland. Mm. Well, they call it Queensland. well, it's what they call the bloody oath. And when they put in that doctor that's been running the coroner's thing as the Governor General, and they swear allegiance and faithful to the Crown, the Queen. And they called her the lawful Queen of Australia. I find that really offensive.
Mm.
I have to tell the Queen that she's not the lawful Queen of Australia. It's a direct message to the Queen. She's not, and they've never said sorry. It's not against, it's against their principles to ever admit they were wrong.
Mm, of course.
And it's against our principles to not accept that, that they never will say nothing. And I listen to a lot of Murray's free-range people talking to me because I sort of work outside. I call it work. And people are singing that Queen. She has a few years to recognise the damage that's done to this treaty-less country.
Sure, exactly.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Tony?
Hello.
Yeah, no, I lost Tony. Tony Gibb, sorry, we can hear everything you're saying there, my brother, but you can't hear us, so we got cut off there, but you were still talking good and putting your point across. You can try to call back if you can. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Got about 12 minutes left on the program, New Mob. Too deadly. Imagination, Savannah Doolin here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Got Tony Gibbs back on the line. You there, brother?
I'm here.
Yes.
I'm here, Trevor. Morning, everybody else, too. Yeah, with treaty, 30 years people have been singing for treaty and you're still playing it, and it's, you know, they've got their ScoMo has been called a liar there, and Australia, the land of bullshit, mate, as well, it was invented. And but the Queen has to be held accountable. She has a few years to acknowledge Australian people. And Prince Charles talking up about the global thing, emissions. Well, we have all this stuff emitting from the land, the colonial sugar refineries that the Crown and the Queen and England are responsible for. And
if not her, in this lifetime, maybe her son who becomes King, Charles. Maybe he can set the record straight.
Yeah, he used to be my neighbour before I immigrated. We're the same age. Me and her, me and him are the same age.
Okay.
And I just think he's a disgrace to everything. I just think he's a disgrace, his life, what he's done and how he talks, and he's so far removed from life here in Queensland. And there's a Governor General, and they swear allegiance and faithfulness to the Queen. So no matter what we say or do, they will back the Crown, which has their principle of never saying sorry. And I just think there needs to be a political change in this country, and the Crown, the Queen has a chance to talk. There's a lot of Aboriginal people wishing her to death, mate. That's hard stuff. And I'm reporting properly that they're cursed because they just will not recognise this country. They got the flag on it. They're shoving nuclear submarines in us. They're putting us at the mercy of American aggression and intertwining us into that. There's so much going on, but...
All living on a big lie, you're saying, brother.
All living on a big lie. There's no treaty. There's no respect. New Zealand had a treaty, has a treaty, and they've got their own problems. But this country has never had a treaty. Never, ever. And it's the Crown that was the invader. And the story must come from the Queen, or she'll go down forever. That in modern reconciliatory times, she never uttered a word of responsibility, no matter about treaty.
Just to make the statement.
Never made the statement. Kevin Rudd done that. But he's Australian. He never invaded it. Britain did. And I am still English, still British. You cannot ever change who you are, you know.
Where you're born.
You are what you are. And I, for the sake of all good English people, that, as Jody Cockatoo said, when you get over there, they're really interested, but the airwaves are jammed.
Yeah.
And David, the, what's his name, that does all the Barrier Reef stuff, I forget his name.
Edinburgh.
Yeah, Edinburgh. Yeah, they show all the scientists and things working on the reef and the clean water and all diving and grassy. I'd love to show him around and show him the place when the water's dirty and filthy and ochre-coloured and it's sponging the heat in from the emission from the earth, which is it goes into the Coral Sea, which is the before the Barrier Reef goes into the deep water. We've got this Coral Sea, what we call the muddy pond in the wet season, from massive amount of sugarcane. They just tell lies forever in this country.
Yep, and Mother Earth is screaming out, we're hurting Mother Earth, aren't we?
Yeah, they're just, you know, I'm going up to Goldsboro, I said, where them butterflies last week, I said, they're missing. That's where they got cane farm on the hill there, and it goes straight into the river, and so all the pesticides are there. No wonder there's no butterflies there. No wonder there's no insects there. No wonder the chain of wildlife is being broken, because when Edinburgh comes out here, he gets into everybody's, all the scientists and all the, they don't come down to the grassroots people.
Exactly.
Like me. I'm not big-heading myself. I just have the knowledge and know.
Well, you are grassroots, brother. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they're missing the point. And all sugarcane is grass, you know, and that's what's causing huge warming of the Coral Sea and destroying life. This new Governor-General for Queensland, the Queen's representative, I hate him, mate. They keep... They put women in because blokes don't like arguing with women, eh?
Exactly.
Exactly. Anyway, I'll leave it at that. Say no more. Otherwise, I'll have a riot on the
All right, brother. Thanks for your call, Tony.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. You take care, brother. That's Tony Gibb, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. About 6 minutes left on the program. Your mob squeezing a yarn here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Let's go to Warrumpi Band. And the title is Never Change. Go figure. Never Change.
Watching the sun go down, a big old mountain on the plain is looking at him now. Desert children running by.
Interrupt that deadly song, Never Change. We're up here, bam. We got someone on the line. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, Jody's book, Writing in the Sand. Good Christmas present, brother.
Yes.
And it was good that she acknowledged the white fellas. And, you know, a white fella that we don't acknowledge as much, collectively black and white fellas. Slim Dusty, brother. Gordon.
Yes.
David Gordon Fitzpatrick. And he happened to be an Irishman, brother. And, you know, the Queen was supposed to go to Northern Ireland, but not to a Republican Ireland. And I don't know if they still have a treaty. And that name I forgot, brother. I said Hollingwood was Houlihan, brother, and connected Houlihan to all Leandra, Ellen, and they were really a lot of good white books, like Tony did himself there, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Someone regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to time where Murray got to sign off here, you mob. I thank you very much for your company. Enjoy your company and enjoy delivering the show, National Talk Black. One-hour program. It is your program. I'm just steering the ship, National Talk Black. And the baldy one is Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, host of your daily program. Live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. So on your Yidinji country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Got the big race coming up very soon. The race that stops the nation. And all thumbs up, green light for it to run. So good luck with that. And have fun with it, but don't put your house on it. There you go. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic. Abide by the rules and look after yourself. And get the vaccination done. To the mob here in Cairns, big shout out Wu Chopin. Thank you very much. COVID vaccine pop-ups. And they got the pop-up at the Todd Park today, Roberts Road, Edmonton, opposite South AFL Club. So that's happening today. Wednesday, Manura Hub. And Thursday, Henley Hill Park, Oval, and also Lions Park on Friday at Oval. So thank you very much, Chopin. Go there, get the jab. If not, go there and have the conversation about the jab. Get the information, you mob. Too deadly.